All right, look, I know I have been talking about prayer here for almost a year or more on Wednesday night, but how many of you know we could talk on it until Jesus comes and still not even scratch the surface? Okay, so we haven't. But tonight I want to just give you a simple message that I think the Lord impressed upon my heart, which I know he did. It's just to say this, keep it simple, but pray first. Just pray first. Before you go home to even tell your spouse the good news, if you got a bonus or anything, before you do that, talk to him and give him praise. You know, if you got an issue, talk to him before you go to your best friend. Pray first. And you know what? When we learn to pray first, I'm going to tell you, it'll bring you up to another level. It just will. And it must become a lifestyle with us. Because when you start to think along these lines of praying first, you will go to the next level, but there will be a lifestyle change in you because of your prayer. All right, I'm going to run through a lot of verses fast, probably. Gabby, just leave these verses up here. You don't have to put it back on me. Just leave the verses up. But let's go to James 5:16. I'm not going to wait for everybody to turn, but I am going to be in Hebrews, okay? So if you're going to look, you want to look in your Bible and mark it, we'll stay in Hebrews tonight after James. Okay, so Hebrews is just back a little bit to the left of James, the next book back. But I know you're familiar with this verse, but let's start with this. All right, you're very familiar. But we can't think that everybody is or that we remember all the time. All right, so let's read James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And I'd like to add there, first. Let him pray first. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now, these are some things that have gotten lost in the body of Christ. No one calls for the elders of the church anymore to come and pray. Are there any sick among you? No, I'm doing really good. No, you're not. You're sick. How come you don't have prayer? Or you pray first, and then you can call others for prayer, but make sure that you do that. All right, let me go back. And let them pray over him. Look at this. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayers all through these few little verses. I didn't even count them how many times. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now notice, it didn't go immediately to the sins. It didn't say, if you've committed sins, then, you know, get those cleaned up and then God will heal you. Didn't say that. It said first. This was always so encouraging. They will pray the prayer of faith and save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, the Lord will forgive him. Okay, they'll be forgiven. Verse 16. Confess your trespasses one to another. And pray for one another that you will be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, just like us, just a typical regular man. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And the heaven gave the rain and the earth produced its fruit. So prayer, 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 prayer. He prayed, prayed, prayed. So the whole thing here is about prayer, but what I want to show you there is that effectual, fervent prayer is what brings a whole lot of results. It avails much, all right? So if you look up the word fervent prayer, it means deep-hearted prayer, deep, heartfelt prayer, not routine prayers. Not just the same old, Lord, bless my brother, bless my sister, heal my sister. No, give it some thought and talk to God about them. Talk to God about that. So not just routine or that sporadic prayer, maybe once a week, or like an ER prayer, you know, an emergency prayer. No, that effectual, fervent prayer. Now, if your son is going to jail, or you've got to come up with a few thousand dollars for your business, believe me, you get pretty fervent in your prayers. Am I right? Okay, so we know how to do that, but it's better if we pray first all the time. Remember how it was years ago? My best memory was my mother and my grandmother in Texas. And Mama would write to her, and it would take that mail like 4 or 5 days to get to Texas, at least three. So my grandma would get the letter, and then she would write it back to my mother, usually the following week. So usually they got two letters a month, I think, because it took them each a week to get that letter back and forth. And then the phone came along. And then they got to talk on the phone. I mean, just immediate access. Called, and she picked up, and that sweet little voice would be on the phone. And, oh, how they, you know, would love just to talk to each other. But still, they only talked every other week because phone calls cost too much, they said. And I thought so many times, what would they do if they had FaceTime? Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine them seeing each other? And when I was dating my husband, well, he was my boyfriend and my fiancé. He wasn't my husband yet, but he was in the Navy in Vietnam. And when we wrote to each other, it took 10 days for that letter to get out to the ship in Vietnam and to come back here. So it was over 10 days. So, you know, that's how it is if you break up your prayers and you don't visit with God every single day. It's like you're just throwing one up now and then. I mean, just casually, you know, talking in the wind. But sometimes I would say every day you just need to sit with him. That's why I'm always talking about that secret place where we just get alone with him. That undivided attention that we give him, because Jackie, when we give him undivided attention, he gives us undivided attention. Amen? So all of it just comes together. So good. So remember when the people, go back to Hebrews now. Let's start back there at Hebrews in chapter 5. When the people of Israel, I'll just say this, came out of Egypt, remember they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had to stretch up the tent and had the Holy of Holies in there, but only one person could go pray for them. Only the high priest, who was appointed by God, who was Moses' brother Aaron, he was the only one that could go in there and pray for them. I mean, that's just mind-boggling for you and me. When we can go anytime, we get to hold God's word in our lap and look at it and talk about it and interpret it ourselves. And yet they could only have this high priest that went in near God, because God was in that secret place. He was in the Ark of the Covenant. So he met with them there. All right, so let's take a look at this and see how our lifestyle could change by some things that we can put together and believe in and lift our faith up to come to another level of prayer. All right, chapter 5, look at this, 5, 1 through 4. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself, look at this, that high priest is also subject to weakness, just like the people he's praying for. Verse 3, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So nobody could just grow up one day and say, "Ooh, I just feel the calling of God. I just think I'm going to be a priest." Oh, no, you don't. We just read it there. So no man could take this honor to himself in verse 4. You couldn't do that. You had to be called of God, just like Aaron was. So when you go back to verse 5, it says every high priest was taken from among men. And it was appointed to them that they had to offer sacrifices even before they could go into the Holy of Holies. So they had to offer sacrifices for the people they were praying for, but they also had to offer sacrifices for themselves because they were dirty too, or they had committed sin. They had flaws. They had issues going on. So, I mean, that wouldn't that just be horrible to think you've got one man that's only able to do this? And then I got to say this. You've got this going on, one man, one tent, one place where he could meet with God and come out and talk to the people, making sacrifices, and then Jesus came along. All right, so let me show you this. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. So he came and everything changed. Do you know that? You're talking about an upgrade. Man, everything changed. Okay, we're still in chapter 5. Let me move on here. Chapter 5, look at verse 5. Let's go 5 through 11. Oh, look how sweet this is. So also, now remember, we're switching gears here from a man who was pulled out from among men, and he was appointed by God. It was Aaron's, Moses' brother. Yes, he was appointed by God. But look at this verse 5. So also, Christ did not glorify himself because he was just a man down here on earth. So he couldn't appoint himself. He could say, oh, I'm son of God, really, inside, you know, I know who I am. So I'm just going to be a high priest. He couldn't even do it. Look, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, God himself, God the Father, said to him, Christ Jesus, you are my son, and today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is another story. He had no father. He had no mother. He didn't die. He was taken away. So he says, you're right after his order. And he was a high priest in the Old Testament. Verse 7. Now we're talking about Jesus here, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered, remember this or underline it, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to God, him who was able to save him from death was heard because of his godly fear. Look at that. God was able to save him from death, but he didn't. But he heard his cries out of godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, look at this, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. We have salvation. And who's the author? He is. He is the author of not only our faith, but our salvation. Look at verse 10. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we, look what the writer says here, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So these people had become dull of hearing. A lot of people today in the body of Christ become dull of hearing. But Paul said, many say actually Moses wrote this book. And, well, that's debatable. A lot of people say a lot of things. But isn't it amazing that the prophet would say, but this is hard to explain. Now, it was not hard for him to explain because he understood it all. But it's hard to explain when somebody has a dull hearing in their spiritual ear. And you're going to have a dull hearing in your spirit ear right here if you don't raise your prayer to another level and pray first. What else did it tell us to do first? Seek the kingdom of God. Seek him first. And then those other things will be added. All right? So, and it, we just read there where he was assigned by God, not by man. He was assigned by God because he was absolutely perfect. And he offered prayers and supplications and cried. He cried and he had tears. And so when we pray, church, let's just, I know I tapped into this just a tad last Wednesday about praying with our faith in what Jesus did at the cross. But if we really can't pull our memory back to the cross and pull up what Jesus did there, then our prayers will be a little bit shallow or locked. But here we've got, we don't have to have the lamb or the goat and the bull. We've got the very blood of Jesus. All right, flip over to chapter 10. I want to cover this quickly. I don't want to go too fast. I know it's deep, but deep stuff. The deep word is when you start talking about priests and appointments and being in the presence of God. And so let us just go here to chapter 10 because I want us to be able to pray tonight. 10, oh yeah, look at verse 19. And there's so much here. You guys just ought to take time and read through the book of Hebrews. Read the whole chapter 10. But we'll start at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how? By anything we did? Did we get this access by us being so good? We didn't have anything to offer. We don't have anything because of us. He said, no, you enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Blood, the blood of Jesus. Look at this. Underline this, by a new and a living way. A new, this is new from Old Testament that they had been raised on. I mean, it must have been really hard for them to accept this. But the writer here says, no, this is a new and a living way. It is alive. It's never going to die. You're not going to need to do this again next year. Hallelujah. But by a new and a living way, which he, Christ, capital H, consecrated for us through the veil. That is, the veil is not a curtain anymore, not a 12-inch curtain, thick, but his flesh, the veil, his flesh. And having a high priest over what? This ought to make a shout. Having a high priest over what? The house of God, the church. We have a high priest that looks down over us. Why wouldn't anyone want to be in the house of God? Because he is over it. We got a high priest over us. So let us look, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. We don't have to be timid. We don't have to try to crawl in if you've made a mistake. If you were a mess last week, you need to be in church this week. Just come on to church. If you did something you shouldn't have done, keep coming to church. Come on, just keep coming and come to him with full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to have shame. You're blood bought. So he says, you just come on in here. You've had your heart sprinkled with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And that's when he saved us. Hallelujah. We are saved by the author of our salvation. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. Oh, he who promised is faithful. My, and so many times we're not faithful. But oh, he that promised, he's always faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, just remember to come to the house of God for no other reason that Our high priest is over the house. We've got that. We've got him looking over the house. Isn't that awesome, church? All right. Let's go down to verse 35, and I'm going to start to wrap this up. Verse 35, therefore, since we have all that, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't lose hope. You've been praying for it a long, long time, but you can't give up now, church. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. You have need of effectual, fervent prayers, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, look, and he who is coming will come. He will come. Somebody say, he will come. Look at this, and he will not tarry. He's just not going to stay back there and loiter. He is coming. He says, that's an old-fashioned word we used to hear a lot growing up in the Pentecostal church. Tarry in his presence, tarry in his presence, but Jesus won't tarry. Verse 38, and now the just shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Why do you think that God said, my soul will have no pleasure in him if he pulls back? I would say it's because this is his boy. This was his baby. This was his only begotten son as a little old bloody sacrifice that lost all of his blood, spit all of his blood for us. But he said, I won't have any pleasure in those that draw back. Verse 39. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to what? To the saving of the soul. These things are so serious, aren't they? I mean, just serious and so forgiving and so full of mercy and so full of grace. All right, you know that we also have the name of Jesus to pray with. We have the name of Jesus. Gabby, put up Mark 16:17. And if you don't think the names are important, just mention a person's ex to them if they can't stand that ex. X to an X, they give you a funny look, all right? You don't talk about that. And then don't tell them, oh, I love your ex. No, you just keep that to yourself, all right? So an ex, just watch their face. And today, if you say Trump, oh, my goodness, that's like a curse word to some. If you say Biden, that's another bad word to some. Okay, so names are so important. And when you say people's names wrong, like I always do, and I'm trying, you guys, I'm really trying, but I really hate it. I don't like to call people by a different name. So anyway, look at this. I'll get off that. Mark 16:17, you got it? Look at this. And by these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, powerful. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. Give us Luke 10:17. Just keep these going after the other. Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. In what? Oh, it had nothing to do with the disciples. But I'm sure they probably boasted about it. They were boasting to Jesus. But he said, no, those demons, man, they bowed at the power of your name. All right, let's see Romans 10:13. Just keep them going. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There you go again. It's the name of the Lord that we got saved. Had nothing to do with us. And then Philippians 2:9-10. I just wanted to show you a few of these. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name. Oh, yeah, say it. Which is above every name. Of every man, every woman, every disease. Anything that you can name, his name's above it. So I want to go back one more scripture to chapter 4. We put this chapter in our heart a few months ago, back in the summer. And we put about four verses in this we put in our hearts in the summer. And this was one of them. Hebrews 4. I'll start reading at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Can you imagine anything that you have ever in your life been tempted with? Just think of a few of those things. Anything that you were ever tempted with, Jesus was tempted first. But the next few words we have to be so grateful and thankful for, we would have never made it. May have fallen into it, maybe you didn't. But if you did, we have forgiveness. If you didn't, it's because of what Jesus did. The Bible says right there that he was without sin. Oh, he was tempted just like us in everything we've done. But he was without sin. So that's how you can still be tempted. You'll be tempted again before Jesus comes. But you can overcome it if you will believe what I'm telling you tonight, what this word says. So, verse 16, let us therefore what? What is that therefore? Because you know all this other stuff now. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. So now we don't need another priest going in for us. We can just go in ourselves at any time of the day or night, anytime. And so this is why I just want to say tonight, let's just keep on talking to him first. Pray first. That's all I'm going to say. Pray first. You say, I already do that, Pastor. Well, let me remind you to keep these things as reasons that we can just hold fast because we have that high priest that was in like passion, just like us. Elijah, just like us. But Jesus overcame. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you guys.